May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. 119.
Let us read from the Holy Word of God, from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 4. The Epistle to the Romans, reading chapter 4, and the first few verses in chapter 5. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received a sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of a circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We shall leave the reading there. May the Lord bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy, almighty, sovereign, and eternal Lord God, O thou most gracious, merciful, compassionate God, look upon us now as we gather together here this night, professedly to worship thee, all but to remember, all to consider that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, to be a true worshipper this night. Oh Lord, man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Thou knowest, Lord, how each one of us has entered in this night. Lord, thou seest us through and through. And O Lord, to those who have come seeking to worship thee in spirit and in truth, who have come prayerfully, who have come exercised, who have come seeking Jesus, who have come seeking to sit at thy feet, receive of thy word, who have come with souls to be fed, oh, souls to be satisfied, oh, who have come hungering, thirsting after righteousness, oh, who have come seeking a blessing, seeking a word in due season, ah, seeking that crumb from the Master's table. Lord, those who have come fearing thy silence, fearing lest thou wilt hide thy face, oh, fearing that they might be turned aside, that they might be rejected, or that they might be sent away empty. Oh, Lord, remember each and every one. Dear Lord, how dependent we are upon Thee. Oh, so utterly dependent, whether we speak or whether we hear. How true it is that without Thee we can do nothing. And we painfully feel it. And at times we painfully prove it. Dear Lord, do come. Oh, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens, that Thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at Thy presence. Lord, enter in. Oh, Lord, do be pleased to send Thy Spirit, the Blessed Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Oh, do blow that gale of grace upon us here tonight. Take of the things of Jesus and apply them upon our hearts. Oh, what a mercy if the Spirit has been at work before this service, preparing our hearts to receive Thy Word, ploughing up, overturning, breaking down, softening. Oh, it may be through troubles, through trials, through difficulties, through hard things, oh, through dangers, through infirmities, through weaknesses, oh, through mysteries, through things that are too great for us, too difficult for us, too complex to us, oh, making us feel the plague of our own hearts, the deceitfulness of our own hearts, oh, the wickedness of our own hearts, showing us ourselves. Oh, hearts being prepared, prepared to receive Thy Word. Lord, Thou knowest those who have come in crying out, Lord, help me. Lord, remember me. Oh, Lord, undertake for me. Oh, Lord, appear for me. Oh, Lord, provide for me. Oh, Lord, do remember each one, we pray. Those in soul trouble. Oh, feeling much of the wickedness of their own hearts, the guilt of their sins. Oh, those crying out for mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Those seeking to find grace in Thy sight. Those who would be found sheltering under the blood. Oh, those who would be found safe in the arms of Christ. Oh, those who would be found believing in Him, but yet fear to presume. Oh, those seeking that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, their Redeemer, their all in all. Oh, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Any Lord who feel to be far off, oh, who feel to be so hard-hearted, feel to be so carnal, so caught up with the cares of this world, feel to have backslidden, turned aside, wandered, need reviving, need quickening, need restoring. Lord, remember such. Lord, any improvidential need, cast down by the hardness of the way. Oh, Lord, those who walk in darkness and feel to have no light, wondering where the scene will end. Oh, begging for Thee to appear, for Thee to direct, for Thee to overrule or undertake. Lord, remember those who have troubles in their bodies, troubles in their families, troubles in their businesses. Oh, feel to be
so full of troubles. Lord, remember such, those who carry about a body of weakness, pain, discomfort, distress. Remember those who walk a lonely pathway, widows, widowers, fatherless. Lord, those who feel very vulnerable, very tried, hardly know how to carry on. Lord, remember each and every one. Any, Lord, whose condition is so peculiar, whose case is so great, Lord, and they would look to Thee, or that Thou mightest have compassion, speak the word only, and Thy servant shall be made whole. So, Lord, remember each one from the youngest to the eldest. Oh, may the gathering of the people be unto Thee. We pray for those unable to be here this night. Lord, remember them where they are, any laid aside in affliction or sickness. Oh, be very merciful and gracious and grant healing, restoring mercies. Lord, remember those with the care of little ones, those caught up in employment, any who may be away at this time. And Lord, remember any who could have come, but had no desire to come, did not want to come, found a convenient excuse not to come. Oh, we do pray that their hearts might be so touched. Lord, have mercy upon them. We would especially remember Thy servant who had engaged to be here this night, and yet through his great affliction and weakness has been unable to venture. Oh Lord, remember him at this time. No doubt he must feel disappointed and tried. Grant him that submission and resignation to Thy holy will. We know that he has such a love to this cause of truth. Oh Lord, remember him, draw near to him, and oh, if it might please thee, Lord, to grant him some measure of restoring mercies. Oh Lord, and do sanctify these things to him and to his dear one also. Go before him in every way. Oh Lord, do bless this cause of truth here. Remember them still. Work mightily in their midst. Oh, may they feel encouraged and comforted and assured to know that Thy Spirit remaineth among them. How oft we have need to cry, take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Yea, take not Thy Holy Spirit from us. O dear Lord, who bless the ministry of Thy word here, as Thy servants come from time to time, may they come a sent of God. O Lord, who own and bless Thy word, that it may run, have free course, and be glorified unto Thee. Bless the church here, bless them with true peace and brotherly love, unity, harmony. Add unto them such as shall be saved. Oh, what a wonderful thing if the next church meeting should be to hear the testimony of one or another. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what the Lord hath done for my soul. Oh, Lord, we look to Thee. Oh, might it please Thee to raise up an under-shepherd here, one that shall go in and out amongst them and feed them with knowledge and understanding. And what we pray for here, we pray for each cause of truth. Remember Zion in its low state and condition. Shine upon the churches, lest they die. O Lord, have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. O rule and overrule, turn and overturn, put down wicked, evil men, raise up godly, gracious men who love and fear thy name, who would seek to do that which is right in thy sight, and walk in thy ways, and being able to make a stand, and having done all, yet to stand. O Lord, what a wonderful mercy, as we believe that thou art in control, sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Now, Lord, be with us as we must turn to thy word. We would thank thee for many mercies, many blessings, the supply of our every need. We thank thee for thy word of truth. We thank thee for the throne of thy grace. We thank thee for the means of thy grace. But, O Lord, do come now and make the place of thy feet glorious. Glorify thy name. Forgive our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 145. Christ exalted is our song, hymned by all the blood-bought throng. To his throne our shout shall rise, God with us by sacred ties. 145.
Lord, may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I would direct your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Luke 17, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Really, it is the last four words resting upon my spirit. Lord, increase our faith. I believe many exercised burdened souls long to know that like precious faith. They long to be assured that their faith is the faith of God's elect. That faith which is the gift of God. Oh, wonderful gift, blessed gift. That faith toward and in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope of salvation, the only hope of redemption. Oh, how they fear and tremble lest there should be a carnal faith, a natural faith, a worldly faith, a faith that is not of God, a faith that is all fleshly. And it causes much heart searching. Much heart searching to know that our faith is that true faith. Much may be spoken of in religion concerning faith. Religions of faith. But really there is only one true faith. And that faith is given by God unto his dear people. And that faith surely centers upon Christ. Jesus only. Lord, increase our faith. Ah. How the Lord so teaches his people. Teaches his people their need of true faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. Now, here is instruction. Here is counsel. We find those with like precious faith, true faith, are found seeking God. They are seeking him. And surely this cannot be of the natural man. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, against God's word, against God's ways, against God's Christ. We will not have this man to reign over us. And that is why we see all around us countless thousands pursuing their mad career of sin. No concerns over their never-dying souls. No concerns over eternity. No concerns over either heaven or hell. What a mercy. Wonderful mercy if the Lord has brought us into concern over our never-dying souls. Oh, what a mercy if a Lord has begun to deal with us, to shine the light of his truth into our hearts. And what does it disclose? Sin. Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. Again, countless thousands all around us, not in the least concerned over their sins, nor the punishment of their sins, nor the due reward of their sins. How many think by living a morally good and upright life, they shall go to what they call heaven. But that isn't what the Lord is teaching you, is it? No. If the Lord indeed is shining the light of his truth into your heart, revealing to you what a sinner you are, a guilty sinner in the sight of an holy God, or beginning to disclose the plague of your heart, showing you yourself out of Christ. How solemn. How unspeakably solemn. Oh, and there is that trembling before God, before the holiness of God, before the justice of God, before the righteousness of God, before the majesty of God. Where must I go, or whither flee, to escape the wrath that's due to me? You know that your mere chapel attendance in and of itself will not save you. You know that by reading the scriptures in and of themselves will not save you. Ah, you know that all your repentance, or is this what you're being taught? All your repentance, all your godly sorrow, all your tears, all your works, all your duties, all your labours will not save you. Or it may be you have been attempting and trying hard to please God by your own works of righteousness. But is the Lord not teaching you that sin is mixed in it all? Is the Lord not showing you that you have great need to be stripped of all your self-righteousnesses? Very humbling, very painful, but oh, very necessary to teach you this, that thou must save, and thou alone. Ah, none other name given us under heaven amongst men, whereby we must be saved, but that of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner's only hope, the sinner's only plea. And where is Christ revealed? Revealed in his word. Ah, revealed through the Spirit's application of the holy word of God. And what a wonderful mercy if you have been taught by the Spirit your felt need of Christ to save you, to redeem you, to wash you, to cleanse you, to justify you. As we read in the scriptures, what saith the scripture concerning Christ? Oh, concerning his salvation, concerning the wonderful plan of salvation, that he came down from heaven, he who is truly God, became a real man in both body and soul. Bow down sense and reason. Here we find faith. Faith only reign here.
and as a real man, he came under the holy law of God. And being under the holy law of God, he obeyed that law. He fulfilled that law. He magnified that law and made it honorable. And as such, he wrought out that robe of righteousness. That we, being stripped of our self-righteousnesses, might be clothed upon with that which is acceptable with God. And ye are complete in him, accepted in the beloved. But also as a real man, he must suffer. He must bleed. He must die, as you have been singing. He must lay down his life for his sheep, for his friends, for his dear people. Yea, there was none other good enough to pay the price for sin. Christ only could unlock the gates of heaven to let us in. Oh, it is through his death. Oh, through our sins being laid upon him. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my crimes. You see, it must be Jesus only, the sinner's only hope, the sinner's only plea, the sinner's only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, for that faith in him, that faith in his word. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your never dying soul. Ah, let us therefore labour to enter into that rest, lest we also fall by that same example of unbelief. Unbelief being the very opposite of faith. Lord, increase our faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith in what is written. Our faith in the word of God. Our faith, yea, in the person of Christ. Give me Christ, or else I die. I felt led to read to you that chapter, and also those few verses from the following chapter. You see those precious graces the Lord grants unto his people. The principal graces being faith, hope, and love. And how the apostle speaks of Abraham, hoping against hope. Who against hope believed in hope. It's been much upon my mind of late, three words spoken by the king of Nineveh after perhaps the shortest written sermon in the word of God was preached against him and his people. When Jonah, for the second time, eventually went to Nineveh and preached against it, within 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God's judgments upon it, for their sins, for their iniquities, for their wicked ways. But you see, there was a most gracious effect. The word, we might say, was applied. It had an effect. What was the effect? They repented. They repented of their sins. They clothed themselves in sackcloth and ashes. There was an outward repentance. But it didn't end there. No, I believe, although we understand it as a natural repentance concerning Nineveh, there was that inward repentance whereby they repented before God, for there was prayer made unto God, or that he would have mercy, or that he would repent, that is, change the course of his providence, that the Lord might in his great mercy spare them. These three words, who can tell? They've been such an encouragement to me of late. Whether we see it spiritually or we see it providentially, and I'm sure everyone here has matters either in your souls or in your lives, in your circumstances, in your pathway, difficult things, hard things. You see, you need the Lord to appear. You need the Lord to make straight that which is crooked, or plain that which is rough. Or you need the Lord to cause that mountain to flow down at his presence. But perhaps you feel to be so full of unbelief, full of communings and reasonings. Or you feel perhaps so unworthy, so undeserving. You feel to be so sinful, so carnal. Or you feel to be so sunk in unbelief. But hoping against hope, who can tell? I thought of it like a cord binding that soul to the throne of grace. You see, Satan is such an active and terrible foe. Whoever seeks to drive the Lord's people away from the throne of grace, with his accusations, his temptations, and all his threatenings, and all his whispering thoughts into the mind, ever seeking to prevent that soul from begging mercy of God, begging help from God. Ah, how often Satan tempts many seeking souls that they are not one of the elect. But friend, who can tell? They're not one of Christ's sheep. But who can tell? They're not one of the redeemed. But who can tell? You see, does Satan tempt thee to give up, to call no more on Jesus' name? Lord, increase our faith. For who can tell? Or that the Lord might have mercy. And they're referring again to the Ninevites. The Lord did have mercy. The Lord did change the course of his providence that they were not destroyed by the judgments of God. The Lord had compassion upon them. And if free grace, why not for thee? For who can tell? One of those perhaps clearest evidences of life in the soul, the new birth, spiritual life, is that of prayer. For behold, he prayeth. Have we been taught to pray? You know what I mean. Of course, those of us as parents or grandparents, we seek to teach our children to pray. But really only the Lord can teach a soul to pray. Ah, those promptings from within. The Lord bringing that soul into exercise,
teaching that soul its need of mercy, its need of Christ, its need of salvation, its need of God's compassion? Have we been taught to pray that prayer, God be merciful to me, the sinner? You may say, I hope so. I hope so, but as yet I have not obtained mercy. I fear there is no mercy for me. That one in Scripture who prayed that prayer, the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner, we read that he went down to his house justified. Justified by faith. But what we do not read, that he was told that he went back to his house justified. Or he may have gone back to his house still praying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. But the Lord will never teach a soul to pray that prayer without having mercy upon him. You see, flesh and blood will never teach us to pray that prayer, for flesh and blood will never teach us our need of salvation and our need of mercy. Oh, surely it must be of God. Many perhaps pray that prayer in an unprayerful way. That is, our heart does not go with the things that they say. Now, does not the Spirit bear witness with our spirits that we are the children of God? And I'm sure that you know, if you really pray that prayer, if you really feel your need of God's mercy, if you really feel your need of God's forgiveness, oh, if you really feel your need of the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood and his holy robe of righteousness. For you would flee to him. Flee to lay hold of that refuge set before us. That hope in the finished work of Christ. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith in thee, Lord Jesus. For as unbelief is a great, terrible sin, so is presumption. And a presumptuous, outward Christian. Those who seek to have no doubts and fears, those who seem to hold the world with one hand and God with the other, by their fruits ye shall know them. I believe another clear evidence of a child of God is true humility. You read in Deuteronomy 8, those verses, and thou shalt remember all the way the Lord hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, and so on. Well, the next verse begins, I think verse 3, and he humbled thee. Now, if we are of the Lord's living family, if we have obtained like precious faith, indeed, if we walk by faith and not by sight, then of necessity, the Lord has humbled us. There is no getting around that word. There is no avoiding it. I truly believe the Lord humbles his people as the children of Israel also were humbled in that wilderness. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And then we read this, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, increase our faith as we're being humbled.
as we're being stripped, as we're being emptied, as we're being laid low, as we're being made dependent, as we're being made poor, needy, afflicted, weak. And he humbled thee under his mighty hand to teach thee that man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You see, that utter dependence upon the Lord. Without me, ye can do nothing. Lord, increase our faith. For I can do all things and abound through Christ which strengtheneth me. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Lord, increase our faith. Our faith in thee, Lord Jesus, to follow thee. Earlier this day, I had thought of reading, the fifth chapter of Luke. There we have various characters blessed with that faith. That faith in the Lord Jesus. We have Simon Peter. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Spent a whole night out on the lake and yet have caught nothing. And yet the Lord Jesus speaks in the morning, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And you remember that great catch that they took. Then we read this. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They became his disciples. They followed him whithersoever he goeth. Lord, increase our faith. We read of that certain man full of leprosy, full of that dreadful, terrible disease, completely full of it, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, increase our faith. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Then we have those who brought that man with the palsy unto the Lord Jesus and could not get through the press and went upon the roof and let him down in the midst before the Lord Jesus. What wonderful faith. And when he saw their faith, I believe it wasn't just the men who let him down, but also the man himself. And when he saw their faith, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the Pharisees murmured at this, accused him of blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God only? And how the Lord Jesus replied, what reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. After these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Lord, increase our faith, to follow thee whithersoever thou goest. To be a real Christian is to be a real disciple, to be blessed with that true faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight, looking unto Jesus. Now there is a hearing of faith. For my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, that the Lord speaks unto his dear people. It is a great concern to an exercised soul to hear the Lord's voice. Be not silent unto me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Have we come to the house of God tonight, seeking Jesus, seeking to hear his voice? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It perhaps may be in a particular matter, again spiritual or providential, something that you are passing through. You long to hear the Lord's voice. Oh, Lord, do speak to me. Cause me to hear thy voice. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Lord, increase our faith. Our faith to hear thy voice. Through the word read, through the word preached, I believe also the Lord, we would not seek to limit the Lord in any way, may speak unto his people, even through the hymns or even through the prayer. But Lord, increase our faith. Remember, it is a narrow way which leadeth unto heaven. But really, it was that which led me to continue in the reading those few verses in chapter 5. Oh, that access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We glory in tribulations also. It is through much tribulation that we shall enter into the kingdom of God. Child of God, do not expect an easy pathway. You're not going to get one. Is it not enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Here is not our rest. Ah, no rest for the child of God, only to be found in Christ. Ah, let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, but to glory in tribulations, as we have it that tribulations worketh patience. I read very recently of John Warburton at Trowbridge, and I forget the actual circumstances of it. Another way that the Lord humbled him, and he returned home, and I forget if it was a trouble or a trial, but he was so angry, he was so cross at these difficulties, at these problems, and he said how he sort of kicked around, almost against the will of God, full of anger against the Lord's dealings with him. And he said, do you know what the Lord did with me? He just left me to myself. And I continued fretting until I had no more strength to continue. And he humbled thee. And tribulations worketh patience. Humble thyself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Lord, increase our faith. For that grace of humility, Oh, that humble submission to thy will, that resignation to thy will. What grace we need to truly say, thy will be done. But be assured the Lord will have his way. Be assured you will not. Tribulations will continue, in this sense, until it worketh patience. And patience, experience of the Lord's dealings, of the Lord's teachings, of the Lord's humblings, of the Lord's provings, and experience hope. Hope, hoping in God. Ah, hope thou in God. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. To pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord, increase our faith. Thinking again of tribulations, the difficulties in the way, and I am sure there are many here tonight, your pathway is not easy. Oh, there are many difficulties, many mountains, many oppositions, many fears, many tremblings. Lord, increase our faith. That is, to trust in thee. What faith we need, and only God can give us that true faith, to trust in him. We think of those words, I believe, in Psalm 62, trust in him at all times. Perhaps we may say, very easy to trust in God when things are going well, things are going smoothly. When perhaps, like the disciples upon the lake, when it was calm, when it was serene, when it was quiet. But oh, when that storm came, and it was dark, and it was rough, and they feared shipwreck, or they feared they would perish, they feared they would drown, or all their fears. Lord, save us, we perish, or carest thou not that we perish? Lord, increase our faith. Dear friend, are you passing through a storm tonight? Do you feel to be right in the midst of a storm, being tossed to and fro, wondering where the scene will end, hardly knowing how to carry on? Oh, you say, I cry and shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out. Really, that leads me to another avenue of thought, unanswered prayer. Ah, I'm sure there are those here tonight, unanswered prayer. Yes, you say, many of them. Will the Lord ever appear? Or will the Lord ever remember me? Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith to continue in prayer. Yea, to trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. Unanswered prayer. I don't know if I can just turn to it, but in our evening reading at home, we're just reading through the book of Judges, and many, many mysterious themes in that book. And I was only reading earlier in the latter chapters of when the children of Israel went up against their brother, or the tribe of Benjamin, because of what happened earlier, which I won't go into now. And they received the word of the Lord that they were to go up against their brother, the tribe of Benjamin, because of their wickedness, and the Lord promised to be with them and to help them in their battle against the Benjamites. And yet we are told the first time they went against the children of Benjamin, the children of Benjamin gained the victory and destroyed many of the children of Israel. And we read that the
children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even. And the second time, again, they were defeated. And they went up again to the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord. And I believe it was the third, perhaps the fourth time that the children of Israel who went up against the children of Benjamin before they gained the victory. We can only really just touch upon these points tonight, but you see, each time they trusted in the word of God, but things seemed to go wrong. Now, I'm sure there's some here tonight. You seek to trust in the Lord. You make it a matter of prayer. Or you seek to cast all your care upon Him, trusting that He will care for you. But things seem to go wrong. Things go from bad to worse. You cannot understand why. And the enemy, Satan, now says, "Where is now thy God?" Lord, increase our faith. Our faith, our trust, our hope, our confidence in Thee. Very easy to give up praying. But I believe the Lord will never permit His dear children to give up praying. Or they will be very, very tempted to. Or in the depth of their trials, in the midst of their storms and in the darkness. Or the temptations are real temptations. What is the point? Well, who can tell? What is the point? To whom else shall we go? Can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, increase our faith. Yea, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. You think of Joseph and all that happened to him. He just couldn't understand the ways of God. And how often a child of God, in the mysterious pathway that he is to walk by faith, cannot understand the Lord's dealings, cannot understand the Lord's ways. Oh, the word of the Lord tried him. But it was the looking back. Why through darksome paths we go and can see no reason, yet we shall hereafter know each in his due season. Oh, may it be ours to trust and obey. Yea, to trust in him at all times. Did not the Lord Jesus rebuke his dear disciples? Where is now your faith? I understand that to mean not that they didn't have any faith, but their faith was not in exercise. Oh, for that living, lively faith. Lord, increase our faith. You think of David. What wonderful faith was given to him when, as the Lord directed him and his father sent him to the place where the Philistines had come out against the children of Israel, and there was that giant Goliath, and there was Saul himself, a very, very tall and great man, and there were David's eldest three brothers, and there were no doubt many other thousands of men of war of the children of Israel. And not one of them would go out against Goliath. They all feared and trembled because of him, because of his stature, or because of his sword, because of his power, because of his strength. They all feared and quaked because of him, this mere man. What a different spirit was in David. Armed with faith. He would not even take the armor that Saul would provide him with. He had not proven, but what he had proved was his God, who delivered him out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of a bear. Oh, David knew, he could say, "Lord, thou hast been my help." And David believed,
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord will help me. I will not fear what man can do unto me. You see, as David went down to meet that Goliath, and as Goliath came to meet him with his sword and stave and so on, I don't believe that David really, in this sense, was looking to that giant Goliath. He was looking to his God. He knew the Lord would help. He knew he was fighting the Lord's battles. You see, if God be for us, who can be against us? David, armed with faith, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And remember this, David, have that single eye to the Lord's honour and the Lord's glory. I do not believe that David thought about that of which would be given to him, or Eliab accused him of being proud. But no, I believe David, armed with faith, that single eye to the Lord's honour and glory, fighting the Lord's battles, that uncircumcised Philistine, defying the armies of the living God. Lord, increase our faith. At times we have Goliath come up against us, threatening, if not to devour us. And remember the language of the giant Goliath, how he said if one should fight against him and he should win, then the children of Israel would serve the Philistines. If you will, that was a deal. And how these Goliaths come up against us, to which we fear and tremble before, knowing that should they gain a victory over us, then, as it were, we would be taken captive and forced to serve them. Really, what a Goliath was giant despair after those two turned out of the way, Christian and hopeful, I believe, and ended up in Doubting Castle. Lord, increase our faith that the Lord will be our very present help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Lord, increase our faith. Just one other thought as it comes to mind. And he led them forth by the right way. And God never makes a mistake. You see, to follow him by faith, we're being led forth by the right way. Or then that trust in him. Lord, increase our faith. Just one other thought, just as they come to mind. I see time is nearly gone. Lord, increase our faith in the word of God. And we think of that word, very well known word in Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things. Now, when Scripture speaks of all things, then surely that's what it means. All things in our lives. He causeth it to come. All those things which happened unto Job, all those things which happened unto Jacob, which happened unto Joseph, which happened unto Abraham. You see, all things working together. Ah, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing hath happened unto you. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. You see, if your faith is being tried, surely it proves it is a true faith. Ah, for fire burns up wood, hay and stubble. But that which is wrought of God will endure, and he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. But oh, in the midst of our trials, Lord, increase our faith. To know that all these things are working together, even for our good, or perhaps our spiritual good. Lord, increase our faith. What a mercy if we are blessed with that true living faith, that faith in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that faith in his precious blood, or that faith in his name, or that faith to believe that my Jesus hath done all things well. That faith to believe, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Oh, may the Lord grant to us each here like precious faith. May the Lord enable us to walk by faith and not by sight, looking unto Jesus, Jesus only, leaning upon our beloved. Lord, increase our faith.
God willing, Mr. John Rosie is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and we hope to hold a prayer meeting before the morning service at 9 o'clock. And there will also be a prayer meeting for the nation on Monday evening, and Mr. Sayers is expected to preach on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 916. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal thee, seal thy peace or do thee good. Seek no healing but from Gilead's sovereign balm. 916.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.